Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the lifestyle coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. Hello, this is Lydia, the lifestyle coach, and we are ending eating disorders using nothing but your brain. We're talking about binge eating and bulimia and overeating and body hate and food obsession and all of that. But what it really comes down to is the incredible individual people who are getting free, who are really claiming their lives. And I'm so excited to celebrate another one of the incredible women that has really had an incredible transformation, has owned it, has had fun with it. It's just such an incredible human being, such a love for the people around her and for humanity. And just, I love when we get these incredible individuals free that care so much about other people, because their freedom means that the whole world around them and the whole world in general is really better because they're free. And I am so excited for you guys to get to know the wonderful and the amazing Mary Ann. Mary Ann, hello. So fun to see you here. Hi, hi. Welcome to the show. So Mary Ann, I would love to just dive in and start with, I mean, you're just such an incredible person and you have so many amazing values in your life and really celebrating you, and would love to hear really how all this started for you. Like this struggle, you know, with food, where would you say that came up early on? When did you start seeing the first signs of like, oh, like maybe something isn't okay or is off here, where this all started?
I think really for me, it started pretty young. Food was a kind of a relationship manager in my family, and it's the way we kind of communicated with each other and showed love. So it was kind of a thing that, you know, if you wanted attention or you wanted to give attention, it was something you used to give attention. So it was really pretty early. Not until teenager would I say that I actually kind of understand the manipulation around it, but I'm pretty young. So I would say, you know, in my early, like 9 or 10, I definitely became kind of obsessed with food and where it was and how much I could have and all that other stuff. But until I was a teenager, did it really kind of start to, I let my thoughts about it control me more, really, nice. Early on. So that's like 45 years. Like when I say that out loud, I kind of freak, but it's about 45 years of not really understanding what food was and what it is and what kind of relationship people had with food or any of that, really.
Yeah. And 45 years, like that's a lot of life. And Mary Ann, may I ask, like you said, like this importance around food and these like food mentality started really early on. And then how did you see things sort of change in your teenage years? Like what started evolving?
You know, I was never a small person, and the society and the world around it kind of always was giving me interesting messages, and as is my family and people I cared about. So I kind of believe those messages, and I let it kind of influence my need for approval from others and my relationship with food was. So it was kind of multi-sided, and I let it kind of point me in directions that were really, you know, now I know how dangerous they were, but at the time I thought it was just kind of how it was, and it was how life was supposed to be, and this was going to be my battle. This was going to be my struggle for my entire life was going to be my relationship with food, yeah, which, you know, was reinforced by others, and I can't, to this day, I can't even believe I believe that, but.
Well, and when you're on the other side of it, it's like, I can't believe that I believe that, but there's such this mentality of like, oh, well, if food is your struggle, then it's always going to be your struggle. And that's just who you are. And that's your identity. And you might as well just own it because it's going to be that way forever. And on the other side of it, you can be like, oh, I can't believe I thought that for so long. But there are people all over the world thinking that that's the case. Like,
yeah,
that's just the way that they are. So, I mean, as this kept going, Marianne, like, what, how did you see things escalate or get worse? Or what were you seeing get harder or more concerning, like over this 45 years?
Well, I pretty much had tried every single diet that existed in the world, and I gained and lost the same 60 pounds or more, probably 8 times. So I kept really restricting my body and manipulating my body dangerously, to be where I thought I was supposed to be, not necessarily the messages my body was telling me, but where I thought I was supposed to be based on the messages I was listening to inappropriately. So I played with my health a lot. And I, again, when I think about that now, I'm like, what were you doing? To meet what I perceived as being the acceptable me. Which was when I get emotional when I think about how dangerous I was to myself and how damaging I was to myself. But it was, I'm supposed to weigh this number. I'm supposed to look like this. And the way, if I'm a big person, I have to manipulate, I'll have to do this to be there so that I can be loved, which was, again, another ridiculous phenomenon of the perception. So food was like a key player with that because it was tied up in emotions and so many other aspects of it.
Yeah. Wow. And just, I want to bring awareness to this tie, right? Of like, I have to do dangerous things, like to try to be acceptable and loved, and that all those things are tied together. Like, this isn't just, I want to be thinner. This is like, I want to be okay. I want to be lovable. I want to be worthy. Like, it just starts getting so mucked up together. And like you said, like now you realize like, oh, that's ridiculous. But like when you're in it, I mean, it's such a common thing. And you know this, Marianne, like you are an incredibly intelligent and accomplished woman. We have so many incredibly intelligent and accomplished women that we help. And it's like, you wouldn't ever suggest your friend do something dangerous like that.
No, never. Like, no, I was always much meaner to myself than I was to everyone else.
Yeah. And this is the thing that just feels so important, that it drives us to literally do things that are dangerous. And yeah, I love that you share that. It's such a powerful part of your story. And Marianne, tell us more about, like, you know, being, you know, in the eating disorder, like how is that manifesting? Like, what did you see yourself doing that was most concerning to you?
Well, my life was totally overwhelmed with my interaction with food. It ate up most of my mental space. And I really, to be quite honest, everything was about the next meal, what can I have and what can I have? Where am I going? How am I going to handle a situation where food is? And how am I dealing with that? Is it going to be a problem in my relationships? You know, so how do I make it so that it benefits or my relationships, or avoiding things that weren't going to work, because the food situation wasn't going to work for my current status? Like, what was I doing at the time so that I couldn't go to that event, or I couldn't go out with my friends or make something with my kids because I wasn't doing carbs this week, or I wasn't doing whatever, or I was and I had no controls, or I was kind of in a binge mode where I binged nonstop. And it was kind of it really, to be quite honest, it ate up so much of my mental capacity. I couldn't really focus on the things I knew I wanted to focus on. And it was so freaky to me when we sat down and talked about that. And I was like, oh my word, this is all I do. This is all I think about in comparison to living my life. So I was like, this can't be what life is. I can't be living my life about defining what I'm going to eat. Like, that's not what life is about. And I was like, I was upset because I was like, well, where did that manifest from? And how did that start? And I thought, you know what? I can figure that out later. Now I need to be free from it. And then I can go back and figure out what other things I need to change that kind of got me there. So I was really I was really excited because you were very, very strict about this is what you're here to do. Do this. and all that other stuff is not important, but this is what you have to focus on. And that was hard. I mean, that was the hard part. It was, okay, right. Don't try to fix everything. Focus on this. If you focus on this, you can address this. And that probably was the biggest realization like in week four for me was, stop thinking about all that other stuff. Focus on what are you saying to yourself about the food? What is the chatter about the food? Just let go of the chatter of the other stuff. Just focus on the food about the food chatter first.
And then Marianne, like I love that you're bringing this up. This is so, so important because a big misunderstanding in the world that people have it backwards is like, I actually have to figure out all the other things. I need to go back and find out all the reasons of like, oh, if I feel this way about food, why is that? Where did that start? How do I unravel all of that? How do I fix all of that? And then it keeps them in this circle and the spinning for the rest of their lives of like, oh, well, I haven't figured that out yet. So I'll just keep doing dangerous things and missing out on cooking with my family and like missing out on actually living. So I'm so proud of you that you had the wisdom of, you know what, like I can figure that out later at some point, but I need to start living right now. Like I need to start being able to have my freedom so that I can, if I want to, figure out those things. But this is the biggest thing. That's so important.
Not, you know, it's a really big challenge in the beginning because the people who are asking for help are the people who have tried lots of things and they tried lots of things with lots of other things influencing it. So it's the battle in the beginning of that. It's the battle of that is like, nope, there's a reason that Lydia set this process up and there's a reason that it works. So let go of what your other brain is saying, let go and just do it and believe that you made this decision for a reason. And it was like the mantra, you decided to do this for a reason and the reason is a good one. So keep moving forward. And I, you know, the whole thing about the freedom vision and having it there, it's like, that's what I want. Just remember, that's what you're going for. It's not all this other stuff. It's that.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and just again, just so, so proud of you on that you really focused in on, I made this decision and I'm going to trust the process and I'm going to show up coachable. And Marianne, you showed up so coachable. And that was one reason why it's like, you got to see the benefit of like, oh wow, like this is what happens when you actually like do it. And so, so happy for you in that. And, but before you had that, like, if you would share with us, like Marianne, what were some of like really the hardest moments or the hardest things about missing out on life and not really living? Like,
well, you know, I was thinking about that before we talked and I was like, there were so many events in my life where I wouldn't say I was fully there. I wasn't present and I wasn't enjoying it. And I mean, I can feel bad about that now, but I can now say it's okay. I can forgive myself. I can move on. And now it's okay. It's like, you want to enjoy life and we're all human and this is all the things around it. It's like, okay, lesson learned. It's okay to learn lessons and it's okay to move on. It's like on those two, I had two specific vacations where I was like, yeah, how much was I really engaged in what we were doing? And I was like, yeah, I probably didn't get as much out of that as I could. And that really hurt because I was like, those were big deals. I mean, they were big, pricey items. There were things you're going to do. And then there were like times when, both of my sons' graduations from high schools, I was so worried about the other things about the food and the event and all this other stuff. I wasn't present at the ceremony. I couldn't let go. And I was like, well, that's horrifying. Why, you know, how did I do that? How did I let that my issues clouded this beautiful event of celebration about my kid? I'm like, oh, all right, no more of that. No more of letting those things stop me from living my life. Like, how could I let that happen? But I'm like, you know what? It's okay. We all get there when we get there. There's a reason for this to happen. I have to believe that God has want me, you know, was showing me along, and now I finally heard the message, and I'm here, and I'm ready to move forward. But it definitely was holding me back. It was holding me back from learning new things I wanted to do and trying new things. And I'm an experimenter. I like to learn lots of new things. I try new hobbies. I try all that other stuff. But I don't know how much I let go to do it. Like I didn't necessarily put as much risk out there as I could have. Because I think I didn't, because I was afraid. I was like, well, if I do this, am I going to be able to, you know, if I'm outside the house, how am I going to figure out my food? And I'm like, what? That stopped me from doing this stuff? That's ridiculous. I don't live in a place where there's not food available. There's food available 24/7. I have access to food. I'm lucky enough to have the money to buy food. How could I have ever thought in my mind that was going to be a problem? You know, kind of thing. So it stopped me from doing things I wanted to do. It stopped me from being present in the moment with the people I care about. And that part makes me angry. I still have to get through that. That makes me angry. I can say it out loud. It makes me angry that I let that happen. But already in about week 5 or 6, I was like, oh no, this is never happening again. I'm like, it is never happening again. I'm like, no one or myself will stop me because of an issue about food or the environment that I'm walking into and the food availability or my thoughts about the food or whatever it is or what people are serving or whatever the issue is going to stop me from doing what I want. It's just not going to. It doesn't have the right to stop me from doing what I want. Like the chatter is never going to have that right to stop me from doing what I want and what I should be doing.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And that is so powerful. And I'm like, there is that resolve and that desire. And then there's actually the way to do it. And what I'm so just celebrating you in is that you had both those things together. Like you drew that line in the sand and you said, I'm done. And then you had a way to do that. So you got to claim that and really own that.
And I love that I practiced it while I was still in the program, because I went away for the vacation for 4 days with friends. We went out to glamping.
Yes.
And I put my phone down. That's another thing. Put my phone down. And I just said, whatever happens, happens. We'll eat when we eat. If I'm hungry, I'll eat. And I had the best time. I can't even tell you the good time I had. It was so relaxing and no stress about it. And I was present with my friends and we did all these silly things and we like communed with the cows and did all this other stuff that I would never have done because I would have been worried about, well, do we have the food for the campfire and all this other stuff? It didn't matter because, you know, we can figure it out. It doesn't matter. You know, it's not important. And it was so, we came home and my husband said to me, he's like, did you have fun? I said, that was probably like the best vacation we've had in years. And it was only like 3.5 days. And he's like, why? And I'm like, because we were just there and we were just being. There was no stress. There was no worry about where we're getting food, where we had to be. You know, I mean, there were other factors, obviously, that helped. We didn't have to be anywhere. We didn't have to do anything. We didn't, you know, it was all easy in that sense. But I didn't have my own self, in self-implemented issues about, what time are we eating dinner? Where are we going to go? What is this going to mean? I mean, I literally turned off my phone and let my friend, she's like, well, where should we go to eat? I'm like, I don't care, wherever you want. She's like, who are you? I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's just food.
Yes, it's just food. Celebrating with you, Marianne. And I'm curious, like, after 45 years of trying everything and like not being able to be present and missing out on the things that you cared so much about and just like trying and trying and trying and even doing these dangerous things and just like, I know how hard all of that is. What was it for you? Because you know now, freedom, like you made the decision, like we're celebrating your freedom. But before you knew that, like when you were thinking of, you know, signing up for a session with our team and like, you know, checking this out and like, what was it that really through all the skepticism gave you the courage? Like what went into that decision of like, I am going to move forward. I'm going to get the help that I need and reach out.
I think because after looking and investigating all the different things, it was the understanding that there is a science behind this, the science of how the brain works in the body and that how the body works and the connection of the brains. There's science behind this and about the fact that habits and rituals of the way we behave really can change our lives. And I always believe that in other things. It's funny that I believed it in other things, but not necessarily about food. And I was like, well, I believe in meditation and I believe in all these other things that, you know, if you say the right words or you listen to the right music, you'll have, you know, it changes your attitude about things. But I'm like, So why didn't I believe that about food and the messages that my brain was giving me? Now, I definitely think, as I said earlier, that my brain knew that, you know, as we learned, the brain knows the little buttons to push to get you to do what it wants to survive. It's going to say, oh, yeah, you haven't eaten breakfast. You eat breakfast every day. Why haven't you eaten breakfast? You know, to learn how to listen to yourself. I think the intellectual listening to myself never listened to myself about food.
Yeah.
And I think it was not something I could associate the two things together. It was like, yeah, you can listen to yourself about work. You can listen to yourself about your family. You can listen to yourself about tuning out messages that you know are unhealthy for you. But why aren't you listening to yourself about food? Like, what about that is? And I think it had a lot of tie into my relationship with food and my family and how I grew up and the worries from outside and all this other stuff. And then I'm like, oh no, we're going to listen to yourself. You're going to listen to my, I'm going to listen to this brain and not this one. And you're going to listen and you're going to say it out loud and you're going to laugh. Cause even today I was saying it out loud in the shower. Cause I'm like, I can say it out loud everywhere I can, no matter what the chatter is saying, just to say it out loud.
Yeah. Because, and Marianne, thank you so much for that. It's such a beautiful thing. And I'm so glad you had that, like that, just resolve to step into your freedom. And let's talk about that freedom because it's so fun. We're getting a little bit into, like, and just so you know, like Marianne's talking about a couple of the principles that, you know, we practice in the program, because there's a big difference between really like knowing that you want to be free, even knowing all the science behind this. I mean, we have people who are so educated and intelligent and who have their PhDs in the psychology of eating disorders. We've had, you know, neuroscience doctors come to us with eating disorders. We've had just really intelligent, amazing, like, you know, coaches and people who know about human behavior. But then when it comes to really changing this for you, people don't know how to really make this shift around food and around this habit. And so I just love how you've just jumped in and really practiced this in such a beautiful way. And Marianne, let's talk about that, because we're already getting into it, because I know that's like such a fun piece of it. What are you celebrating most about your freedom? Like, what is freedom like for you? Like, how would you capture that? Like, what are you able to do that you couldn't before? What's changed?
I think I'm much more open with others. And I'm not hesitating. I'm not a hesitant person really in general as it is, but I'm not. Like, somebody asked me recently, they're like, what's going on with you? You seem different. I was like, wow, that's a really open statement. And I said, well, I'm freer than I was before. And she's like, what does that mean? And I was like, oh, well, here we go. I'm going to be an infomercial. And I kind of explained to her what I was doing. And I was like, there was no hesitation for me to say who I was and what I had gone through. And that it was okay to say that I had an eating disorder, and I binged all, like, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. It was okay. I didn't feel embarrassed by it. I think I didn't feel, I wasn't embarrassed about my relationship with food. And that was so freeing to me. It was like, yeah, this is me. You don't like it. That's your problem, not mine. You asked the question, I'm going to answer. I think it really opened up my ability to take care of myself in a much healthier way. I wasn't doing that consistently. I would go through fits of it, but now I'm doing it much more consistently. I like the quiet time now. Didn't like it as much.
Such a big deal, right? Because like when you're ruled by your eating disorder, like you're like being alone with yourself because you're just like, I've got to distract from that. Like, what is that like to be able to have quiet time?
It's so wonderful. There are so many things, like so many things that I have decided to, like, you know, to pursue that I wanted to do. Like, I love, you're gonna laugh, I love games. I love different types of games. And I was like, okay, I need to learn how to play Mahjong. So I'm going to make sure that I make time in my day to learn, you know, in my week to learn how to play Mahjong. And I'm going to make sure that I dance more. And I'm going to make sure that I, you know, explore anything that I'm curious about and not be afraid to explore it. That it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It matters what I think. And of course, you know, I care about what my family thinks about me and all those things, but it's really about, I can be my best me when I'm truthful and honest with myself, then I can be the best me to everyone else. And I don't think I was doing that really very well. I think I was trying, but I don't think I was doing it really well. So it's the freedom of, here's who I am, here's what I can do, and I want to share it with you, and I hope that you accept it, but if you don't, it's okay too. You know, it's okay. The time thing is absolutely unfathomable to explain, because I don't know how to explain to people the freedom that happens. I had no concept of how much mental time I was wasting on food. I just really had no idea, because it was just so, it was in part of my brain process all the time. And I'm like, really? I can't believe I thought about it this much. What, you know, wow. Because it was, am I restricting? Am I eating? Am I binging? Who am I, you know, how am I manipulating this situation so that I can figure out what my food scenario is for how I'm feeling at the moment? I'm like, wow, that's a lot of energy put into thinking about food. And it's not that I love food and I love to cook and all that other stuff, but it's like, that's not really where I want to put my energy. That's not where my energy belongs. So I think that's the biggest freedom for me, is that to be able to experiment on where to focus my energy and to let that bleed over into other parts of my life. Experimenting on, was this the right way to go? Should I still be going in that direction? Well, okay, let's try and see. Should I try this? Should I try that? You know, it's, why am I held to trying one thing at a time? Why can't I try three? what are all these rules that were associated, I think, with the way I behaved? Like, if you're going to diet, you're only going to do this. Well, why am I restricting in other parts of my life?
Oh, that right there is so, so good. So good. And I just want to like point this out. This is something that is just one of the most beautiful pieces of the evolution of freedom, right? Because it's not just freedom with food. Like, you know how to get out of one cage and you can get out of any cage. You see, whoa, this is where I was restricted. These are the rules that I had. And then you start questioning the restriction and the rules around you. You start being able to actually look at your life and say, what matters? What are my values? Right. What do I want to focus on? And those are questions. Those are high quality questions that you can't ask yourself when 100% of your bandwidth is just taken up by food stuff. It's like, right, you have space to actually consider your own life. And that is freedom.
Yeah, it is. It is really, really, I'm looking at my freedom list and I'm like, and everything is about that. Every single thing that I wanted was all about those things. It was like, joy, acceptance, exploration. Yep, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. More joy, more acceptance, more exploration. Okay. How can I get more of that from everywhere I am?
Yeah. Sounds like truly living.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so wonderful. And Marianne, I know that you had some really wonderful breakthroughs, not just, and it's so funny because, you know, fixing this issue with food is almost like, oh yeah, we got that done. And now like, oh my goodness, there's all this stuff after that. Like it almost seems like old hat, and although it's like, we really want to celebrate that, but it's the gift that keeps on giving. And I know that you had some really beautiful breakthroughs around the way that you treated yourself, spoke to yourself. Like, tell us a little bit about, give us a picture of how it was for the last 45 years, your relationship with yourself, and how that's changed now.
I think I really didn't, in some ways, I didn't actually listen to myself. I listened to everyone else, and I really let society and culture and other people influence what was acceptable. So I listened to a lot of those messages, and I like you said, intellectually I knew not to do that, but part of me wasn't necessarily letting that happen. So I listened to society, I listened to my friends, I listened to, you know, all these horrible media things that we get bombarded with all the time. Even though I've shut some of them off, I still get them, and I'm like, really? Really? Is this really the message you want to give the world? And I really listened to them about what I was supposed to be. What was I supposed to be? You know, I was supposed to be the perfect size, whatever. I was supposed to have long hair. Oh, lots of people don't like short hair, right? I mean, like really bizarre stuff people would say to me, right? Really bizarre stuff. That I, you know, why was I working in perceived an engineering man's world and didn't I find it hard? And I was like, no, it's really very easy. It's just a matter of, you know, knowing what you're doing. I'm like, why would you even say that to me? Like, some of the messages were horrifying, people would say. And then also, you know, learning, having, I live with three men, so I have really interesting images that come to me. And they're all, I mean, they love me no matter what, but they're also influenced by their things. So they don't necessarily understand the impact of what they say to me. So I, you know, I've tried to teach them how to be respectful, just like, you know, when you comment on someone, you don't see, you should learn about the person first. It's not about what they look like, you know, and who, are they a person that you value and morals and all those other things. But I wasn't that way for most of my youth. I mean, I was a horrible person. I used to judge others all the time based on their appearance. And as I got older and I learned about that, I was like, well, that was pretty stupid, because most of the people who I was judging on appearance and thought were good were really horrible people. Or I just couldn't even get to the person because they were so wrapped up in that. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm not giving good messages to myself and I'm not giving good messages to them. And that part, and I know we talked about this, that part hurt me more than the message, than the damage I was doing to myself. Watching the influence I had on my husband and my sons was, I mean, I was like, oh no, look, okay, it's bad enough I'm hurting me, but now I'm doing damage to them. That is so wrong. And I know I have to fix this. So the, when I was being negative to, about myself to them, and I was putting myself down, or, you know, using that, the, my relationship with food as a way to manipulate situations, I was like, oh wow, these are not the messages I want my sons to grow up with and interact with other human beings. This is so not who I want to be. And I don't want to be this person and demonstrate this to them, because I know it's not who I am. And that was that big realization, I think in the first few weeks for me, was like, oh, okay. I value these people I love, and I need to be treating them with the same respect that I often gave to others, but didn't necessarily respect myself or them with. So it was like, wow. And it's a lot like, you know, you hurt the people you love the most because you feel the most comfortable with them, that, you know, because you're safe there, right? And I was like, oh, no, it has to be the other way around. These are the people you should be treating the best, and they will then treat others that they care about the best too, because that's how you should be treating the people you care about. So I was like, oh, okay, flip. I have to flip that. And the best way for me to flip it was to say is, I have to love myself enough to take care of me. Because if I don't take care of me, they're never going to learn to take care of themselves and the people they care about.
Wow.
Big deal. I wish like I could almost have shared that information with my parents and my other family members who were on the older generation, because I think they gave so much to us that they lost themselves.
Yeah. And thank you for bringing that up, because that mentality has really been passed down, right? It's like, right. I will give and give, and I will not take care of myself. And that never ends well.
No.
Never ends well, because you're perpetuating that same thing onto the people that you feel like, oh, well, I'm just going to give everything to them and they'll have it better than I did. No, then they're going to start giving everything to the next people and not take care of themselves. Like,
right.
One of the most beautiful things we can do is show the example of, I am worthy of care and love and to take care of myself. And that is actually the best thing for those around me, because I'm sending that message of that I have value and you have value. I take care of myself. You should take care of yourself. You are worthy of being cared for. And it's just such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Love that.
I do too.
Yes. So fun. And Marianne, just celebrating you in your freedom. Like, I know that it's the little day-to-day things. It's the shopping and going out and being with friends. It's totally different. It's the big things of like, what are you passing on to the next generation? What is your legacy? What is your identity? Like, all of these things are just wonderful things to celebrate. And I really just again want to celebrate you, Marianne. You have shown up coachable. You have shown up resourceful. You have shown up willing to do the work, willing to admit that you were wrong and you want to change, willing to admit that you used to think this way, now you're going to believe this way, willing to be open to a higher version of yourself and your freedom. And it takes that openness. It's like you can be right or you can be free. It's just like, but you've got to change.
I will tell you though, I'm not it's one of those things where you have to be ready. You have to be ready. And it's hard to know when you're ready. But I mean, and this program definitely helps you to know if you're ready. If you're ready to absorb, because I don't know if I could have been coached last year. I don't know that if 5 years ago I'd come across this program, if I would have been able to do it. I don't know. It was the right time. And I'm so grateful that I made the decision to take advantage of it.
Yeah. And I'm so excited for you. And Marianne, we are deeply celebrating you. And yes, so much. Like, you get to like live and have life and be present and really be aligned with your values that were there, that you were in conflict with before, and now you get to be beautifully in harmony with. And it's just such a cool thing. And is there anything else about your journey, like really what it was like to be in this cycle, what it's like to be free, anything else that you wanted to share here today?
I think the biggest thing I would say is, once you've made the decision to believe in the process, to let go and accept the good and the bad days, because they're going to happen. And one mistake does not mean you have to continue to make mistakes. And that, you know, that every moment is a way to learn something about what you want or need to do. Every time you're like, I overate. Okay, well, that's all right. Move on. Tomorrow, you know, the next hour is another moment. To not get so hung up in what happened yesterday. You know, to really live the moment. I think that's, a lot of people are like, oh, well, that didn't work in the past, so why will this work? No. If you don't try, nothing's going to work. that one's a really hard one to kind of get used to. People are like, if you don't open yourself up to try, you're never going to get through it. You're never going to beat it, because you've already presented a roadblock, because you're not opening yourself up to learn.
That is so important. And thank you for passing on that wisdom, because anytime that we are in a state of change, it's normal for some fear, some resistance to come up. But one of the things that comes up is, I've tried so many things. I've tried for so long. I can't trust anything else.
Right.
And then the question that you should be asking is, so what is the alternative?
Right.
Because if you're not trying something else, if you're not like open and willing to continue to fix this and to get the help that you need, like, that means you are what, giving the rest of your life to this problem? Because that's a for sure thing. Like, that's just going to keep on getting worse. Like, there will be a point where you don't have any options. Like, so that is, it's a really beautiful thing. And I'm so proud of you for, after 45 years, to staying open to that of like, all right, it's not okay to keep going this way. So what do we need to do to fix this? And you did it. Yeah. Oh, celebrating. It just keeps on getting better. Just keeps on getting better. And it's so fun. And I just, oh, love the joy and the confidence and the wisdom that you bring to this incredible journey. And I'm just so excited to just see how this continues to open up more and more presence and love and joy and purpose in your life, Marianne. And for our celebration today, anything else that you want to add, or do you feel like our story is complete for now?
What would be the thing that I would say? I would say, you know, there's so many things I want to say. I'm trying to like come back with the one thing, that I am grateful. I am grateful to have found a place that I was safe, and I always felt safe, and that people were authentic and not afraid to open themselves up. Because I think that rarity does not exist in a lot of programs. There was so much joy and authenticity and integrity in the group and the program that I could not, sometimes at night, I couldn't believe how, I was like, wow, this was so real. I was like, this, there was nothing about this that was not true to me. It was so real. And I was like, I can't even believe. It's like, how can we just spread this joy to everyone else, that there are people out there who care and understand? That to me was such a surprise and such a joy and something I am grateful for every single day.
What a beautiful thing. And thank you for being part of making our incredible community what it is, Marianne. Like, you have shown up in all of those ways that you are grateful for. You showed up authentic and open and showing love to others and showing grace to others and yourself. And yeah, it is. It's a beautiful, beautiful world that we get to exist in. And I love that you're part of it. And congratulations, Marianne. So happy you get to truly live.
It's only the beginning.
Only the beginning, I know. It's just like, yes, there's so much life ahead. So, so fun. And you guys, just celebrating Mary Ann today, and just huge congratulations again. And I mean, the same way that Mary Ann started out when she talked about her really just deciding that she had to be done with this. She actually started out with a free breakthrough session.
Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session.
What we're going to do there is really get you the foundation of freedom. Get really clear on what is happening right now and how it's impacting you, and get really clear on what you want on the other side of this. When Marianne talked about her freedom vision, right? Of just like, what do you really want? And then if we can get you there, if we can close that gap and show you how to be free from this for the rest of your life, whether it's been 45 years or 5 years or 65 years, we will show you how. And if not, then we'll know where to best direct you from there. But either way, you will be super solid on next steps of how to solve this. It's what we've been doing hundreds and hundreds of times for many, many years. And I'm just so grateful to have the incredible, incredible community that we do. And thank you for sharing your story and that openness and changing lives and transforming the world because of your beautiful example. And Marianne, it's so fun to chat with you here. And this is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, and Marianne signing off. Bye, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session. Where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on 3 things. 1, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. 2, what isn't working with your approach. And 3, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah!